Amen, amen. Thank you, Father, once again for the privilege to look into your word. Our eyes here, our ears here. Thank you because our hearts are receptive. In the name of Jesus, we've prayed. Amen. You can have your seat quickly. And I titled this, While We Pray. Not why. Not W-H-Y. It is while. W-H-I-L-E. While in prayer. Okay, that's it. While we pray. While in prayer. That's what I have here. Okay, while in prayer. And it's titled that way just to help us to learn a few things that will help us in our prayer times. Amen? Prayer must be made regularly. That is the instruction we have in God's word. Okay? It must be regular. I'm sure you've heard things like prayer life. It's prayer life because it's what you should be doing often, all the time. In Luke 18 and verse 1, and he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. Prayer must be always, always. Men ought always to pray and not to faint. Okay? Not to faint there can mean not to lose heart. Not to lose heart. It's not just men ought to pray. It's men ought always to pray. So that means when you don't pray or you don't pray regularly, there's every tendency to be faint-hearted when it comes to spiritual things. When you don't pray or you don't pray regularly, there's every tendency to be faint-hearted. In Romans chapter 12, Romans 12 and 12, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer. Instant. That is, be in readiness to pray. And it says, continuing instant in prayer. 1 Thessalonians 5 and 17. 1 Thessalonians 5 and 17. It says, pray without ceasing. Pray without ceasing. That is, don't cease when it comes to prayer. That can pass for praying always. Pray often. Pray all the time. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 18. Ephesians 6 and verse 18. It says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints, and for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. So Paul not only says, pray for the saints, he says, pray for me as well. That is, pray for ministers of the gospel. Pray for your pastor. But see how it starts in verse 18. Praying always. Always. Philippians chapter 1. Verse 3 says, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making requests with joy. From verse 9 to 11, you see the prayer. In verse 19, it says, for I know that this shall turn to my salvation, that is deliverance, through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. In Bible interpretation, that prayer is the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. It says, through your prayer, the word and there, you can say, which is the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. That is, it is by that prayer that there will be a supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. Amen, amen. So, there is a need to be regular in prayer. I mean, if you want to ask why, you know why from the definition of prayer. Prayer is fellowship with God. Prayer if God is your father, you ought to pray. You fellowship with him. If you are serving the Lord, you are in ministry. You would always have things to ask the Father. Amen? Praise God. Matthew 6 from verse 9. Jesus taught his disciples. After this manner, therefore, pray ye, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. If you are in ministry, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven, will always be your prayer. Will be a prayer you constantly have to pray. Aside the fact that we have personal needs that we can talk to God about, right? Right?
Yes, sir.
So we have every reason to pray always. Aside from the fact that it's an instruction to pray always. So prayer must be regular. What happens in prayer? Mark 11. Mark 11. And verse 24. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire, when ye pray. That's instructive. Don't forget the title, while in prayer. There's something about your disposition and your attitude at the time of prayer. Yes, there's a disposition you should have before prayer. James 1 and 5. If anyone lacks wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not. You should think like that before prayer. That the one to whom you want to pray is generous and never finds fault. That is, in that generosity, it's not the one that he finds fault. And then it will now affect his generosity. That's what James is saying. He gives to all generously. 1 John 5:14 to 15. This is the confidence we have in him. If we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, we know that we have the petition that was desired of him. Yes, you should have a disposition before prayer. Yes, you should. There's a disposition you should have after praying. At the least, a disposition that shows that you have prayed. That you believe you have prayed. A disposition that shows that you know that God heard you. And answered your request. Now, in prayer, what goes on that will affect how you are disposed after praying is persuasion. Persuasion. A lot of times, this persuasion can even be your answer. Amen? Are you there? It can even be called your answer. Persuasion. What happens in prayer is persuasion. When you pray, be persuaded that you receive. So one, persuasion happens. Two, is sort of one and the same thing, but I want to separate it. Two, persuasion that you are receiving in prayer. Persuasion that you received. That you received your desire. Amen, amen. A lot of times, we can develop the attitude of knowing how to pray, knowing that God answers prayers, but postponing persuasion. So we will just pray and be hopeful. Yes, it's good to be hopeful. If you pray and you're not expectant, maybe you didn't pray. But there is that work that you must do. There's that thing that must happen while in prayer. There's that knowing that you must have in prayer. And it is for you to be persuaded in your heart that what you spoke to God about, has been received. You know what that means? It means that you must agree that while you are praying, your prayer is being answered. Is that prayer that you are doing, that is your receiving? Amen? So if this will help someone, you need money and you want to talk to God about it. It's okay to talk to God about it, right? You need money and you talk to God about it in prayer. Praying and being assured that God heard you is like having such an adventure in prayer. You need physical money, but in prayer, God will extend money to you spiritually. I'm just using this narrative so that you can understand. All right? It will extend money to you spiritually. You will collect it in prayer. You will be assured that I have received the money already. Howbeit, I don't have it physically, right? But I must leave the place of prayer with a notion, a knowing, an experience that I have collected it. So, I haven't prayed. What will make what you have collected spiritually to translate to a physical manifestation is God's business. Yes, it's your responsibility too, in the sense that faith-filled words, knowing that you have received already, is how you speak. So imagine you have that experience in prayer. When you are done praying, would you say, God, please give me this thing now? Is that what you would say? Is that what you would say? No, that means your perception will change. Your words will change. You now say, I have received it. The man who did not pray with you, who does not know how prayer works, who is not a faith person, will wonder what you are saying. But you are the one that had that experience. Amen? Amen. And your words will change. It will now be, I've received it. I've received it. It will now be, the money is coming. It will now be, the money is coming. But a lot of times, we may like saying the money is coming without that prayer experience. So faith-filled words are not things we say to cajole God to make things happen. That is why prayer is a necessity. Amen? So when you pray, be persuaded that you receive. It's something you must personally ensure whilst you are praying. At that time of prayer, you must personally, you must be involved in your praying. Your mind must be there. Your heart must be there. Everything about you. You must leave the place of prayer without knowing. And if it happens to be something that you prayed, you had limited time, and you were not persuaded, you can continue. Amen? Nobody says you have only one time to pray. Pray, and that's it. If you, whatever, however you leave the place of prayer, that's your business. No, you can continue. You can be diligent to ensure that you journey to persuasion about that thing. Imagine we had all the time when it comes to praying. You know, we'll be saying it a different way. It will be when you pray about a thing, don't leave the place of prayer until you come out with the knowing. Does that make sense? But we can't do that, right? At times, you wake up, you want to pray, all you have is 1 hour. You have to go to work. You have to go and do this. You have to go and do that. But what are you doing personally about that journey? Do you have many abandoned projects? Just toss it aside. That's the end. Are you personally journeying to persuasion? This thing, no, I have it. This thing, I've received it. So in prayer, perception changes, vision changes. So, persuasion is ongoing while we pray. Persuasion. We are being persuaded while we pray. Does that make sense? So, prayer achieves that in and on our hearts. That is persuasion. If we respond to prayer, if we yield to prayer, if we choose to pray, that art of praying, that time of praying, achieves persuasion in and on our hearts. We get persuaded about what we prayed about. Or persuaded of what we prayed about. So I say to you, cherish prayer moments. Amen? Amen? Imagine you need money for a project. And then, maybe you applied for something or somebody called you to come and all of that. And let's assume the person is willing to give you the money. But how you will get it at that time, let's assume is via Bluetooth. Or literally via the internet, right? So the person will have internet. You will have internet to receive it. Or your Bluetooth must be on to receive it, right? At that time of sending it to you, if there's no connection, you get it? Are you following? So, you must cherish prayer moments such that you are conscious of the fact that
I'm doing something now. At this point in time, I am receiving. I am being persuaded of God. I refresh myself of that knowing. Even if it comes to things that you are constant, how do I say it now? That you are assured of. Things that you already know. In Acts 9, Peter was called to raise Dorcas from the dead. When he got to the room, he turned from the body and prayed. What do you think was it? Say, Peter was afraid. He was a faith man until he saw the body. He said, even if that's what he did. Amen. Prayer brings back your consciousness. Amen. Turn from the body. Prayed. Turn back. Say, where's the body again? Say, I'm ready now. Stand up. Rise from the dead. That's what happens in prayer. Amen? So cherish prayer moments. In prayer times, you have to be discerning. In Luke 22, from verse 42 to 44, Luke records how Jesus prayed and said this word, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. It was in so much agony. An angel came to strengthen him. And it was recorded that his sweat was like great drops of blood. So write this, number one. In prayer, we are persuaded of God's will. God's will becomes your will in prayer. So on some issues, how you know you are persuaded is that you now want what God wants. God's will now becomes your will. You now want what God wants. That's the effect of prayer. Number two, desire informs attitude. These are two things we can learn from Luke 42 to 44. Desire informs attitude, and attitude informs persuasion. What does that mean? We, a lot of times, should be able to tell as you are praying, that this one has desire. What's desire? What you want, right? It will reflect in how you are talking to God. Because it will affect your heart. It will show that this one is fixed on what he wants to get. It will affect your attitude while praying. Jesus prayed so much that he was in an agony. So much that they said, or is it that that happened in the spirit? They saw a vision of blood coming out of him like sweat. What they saw could be described that way. His sweat were like great drops of blood. He was praying and he was stressed. Emotionally stressed. Bodily stressed. We could tell. Or they, I was not there. Hallelujah. So in prayer meetings, personal or corporate, or individual or corporate, in prayer meetings,
or in corporate praying. Follow godly examples. Or be a good example yourself. I don't know about you, but this helps me when I pray. And it's not for showmanship, no. It's just a simple question you ask yourself. Will someone want to pray or be inspired to pray the way I'm praying? You just ask yourself. A lot of times, once it drops into my thoughts, if I'm doing one, can I adjust immediately? Immediately. You know what you are praying now, don't you? Right? Huh? You know when your thoughts are far from the prayer. We are praying and trusting the Lord to receive revelation knowledge in this service. Amala. Groceries. Football match. You know now, right? But in prayer, what would you do? You would consciously bring yourself back. Revelation knowledge. Revelation knowledge. Revelation knowledge. Revelation knowledge. Revelation knowledge. Bring the mind back from Amala. Revelation knowledge. Revelation knowledge. You must consciously pray. Amen? Now, when those things happen, do you beat yourself too hard? No, you're a man. You have things to think about. But you have the responsibility to focus on what you are doing at that time. Imagine someone calls into a meeting and say, if you get this explanation right, it's 30 minutes. You would understand the digital space on how to make so-so amount every day. How would you do? You sit up. Whoever I say, please can I go push you. Right? Focus. I must get this thing. That's the attitude we must have in prayer. Amen? Amen? So ask yourself, am I a godly example in praying? In prayer? In prayer meetings? Am I a good example? I mean, what informs that is, am I actually praying? That's the meaning of being a good example or godly example. Amen. Mark 14, from verse 31 to 41. Mark 14, from verse 31 to 41. It is a good thing to observe good and godly examples and follow. It is a good thing. Jesus took did I say from 31? I think it should be from 32. It's okay. But 32 is more appropriate. Mark 14 from 32 to 41. Or you can just read there. Everything. It begins from 32 and ends at 42. Okay? What happened? Jesus took his disciples and he told them to sit somewhere while I shall pray. Sit ye here. And then he takes with him, Peter, James, and John, verse 33, and began to be so amazed and to be very heavy, and said unto them, my soul is exceeding sorrowful unto death. Tarry ye here and watch. And he went forward a little and fell on the ground and prayed that if it were possible, the hour might pass from him. Okay? Don't forget Luke 22. Luke 22:42-44. And said, Abba, Father, all things are possible unto thee. Take away this cup from me. Nevertheless, not what I will, but what thou wilt. That's the posture of prayer. You see, Christians, I can't do this. This is that. I that. Okay? If you take up those things in prayer, I remember years ago, I was called upon by the church leadership to function in two capacities as a leader. Like, no, that's too much. As a student as well, I don't think I can. I only know about one, the other one I don't. And then in the course of getting persuaded, God bless her heart, she told me, one of the leaders who was a friend to me and still is, that what do you think how did she say it again? More or less like, all the prayers you've been praying, I think that's how she said it. What do you think it's for? Yeah. And then, okay. But maybe I'll go and use that prayer then. Let's go and pray. If God says, I should go ahead, I'll take it. The interesting thing was, after that ministry year, I ended up functioning in 3 and plus. Amen? When you pray, you discover what God wants you to do. And you see yourself in it. So I not only accepted the two, I now voluntarily took another one. Well, I was being a student and still faced academics. Amen? So if you think you can't, pray some more. Does that make sense? Pray some more. Let me close now. I have a few things to say, but it's okay because of time. Let me close. Follow godly examples. Jesus took them to pray. They were supposed to observe and pray. In verse 37, who dares not thou watch 1 hour? Watch ye and pray, lest ye enter into temptation. Spirit is ready, but the flesh is weak. In prayer, you get yourself, you get your mind, your soul, your body, you get your whole self to be involved in the things of God. Cherish prayer moments. I'm saying to you again. Short prayer meetings, lengthy prayer meetings. Cherish them. I think I wrote something I must read to you. Just somewhere. Concerning prayer and praying. Learn to pray on your own. Learn to inspire and encourage yourself to pray by yourself. Practice it. Don't be that person. If they don't say stand up, you sit down.
If they don't say, let your lips move, you close it. You just want to pray the easiest of way until you are moved. Learn it. If in prayer meetings we start fires, learn to be the one that starts it. Not that you start the fire and go and sleep. Amen. A word is enough for the wise. Right? Don't get used to bad habits in prayer. It's bad habits to keep your mouth closed while praying. You now tell yourself that you are humming your prayer to God. You are thinking it to God. Let me say this publicly. It's good to do or to keep yourself awake in prayer vigils. But can you chew gum and pray at the same time? No. You cannot. That's what will happen now. After some time, that's what it will be. At a point, it might be okay. Move past that. See someone wondering and say, you stayed awake. The gum helped you. Great. Move past that. I remember years ago, we used to say, I think we need anti-doping agency in church meetings, particularly vigils. People will have loaded themselves with drugs. Things that we just, you see someone, I'm just kidding. I didn't say, I know a brother that smoked marijuana to do vigil. But, you are taking glucose. Energy drink. To survive a vigil. If you are sick, I understand that you needed that as a boost. But stay away from things like that. Let an angel of God strengthen you. Like Jesus. In Luke 22. So, to some of you, I see you. I just don't talk. Coke in vigil. You are supplying yourself the spirit. I still understand water. Still okay. You can. Don't get used to bad habits in prayer, right? Pray. Come on. It's time to receive.